When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, the show where we discuss all things related to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, before we begin, I want to remind you all that you can read our content on nj.com/Eagles, and make sure to bookmark that to get the latest Eagles news and analysis. Today, I'm once again joined by my No Huddle Show co-hosts, Bob Brookover and Caden Steele. On this show, guess what, everybody? It's draft day. It's draft week. We're getting ready for that 2024 draft that is set to take place on Thursday night. We'll go over the scenarios that the Eagles will face and give you a few names to look out for over the draft weekend. But first, it's time to bring in Bob and Caden. Guys, welcome to draft week. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's happy draft week. Draft Eve. Happy draft Eve. My stockings are hung. I'm waiting for a player.
Now, if that's the case, we got to see if the Eagles were good or naughty or nice this year, because, you know, they're sitting right now at the 22nd pick. And, you know, Caden, I'm going to start with you. When it comes to that, do you have any, when you look at this draft memories, like if you had to say, if you were a general manager, do you think you have any superstition to make sure that you can get the player that you want? Do you think Howie has any superstitions?
I'm not sure if he has, you know, any superstitions, or I do think Howie is, you know, we've seen him in, you know, recent years be more aggressive, especially going up and making sure that he can get, you know, Jalen Carter and Devontae Smith. And it might be more, you know, learning from past lessons with the, you know, sitting there and taking Jalen Reagor. The few times he has sitting there in the first round and or has moved back, it hasn't really panned out. So maybe that, you know, is part of it. But I don't know if he has any superstitions. He seems like a guy, you know, who's confident in himself. He doesn't need any of that extra luck. So not sure.
I get you. Bob, would you have any superstitions if you were heading into draft night, you know, just to make sure the right player fell down to you?
I would rub Jeffrey Lurie's lucky billfold. that's what I would do. And then tell him I'm going to spend a lot of money, of your money, and I enjoy doing it. And I would remind him that I like to trade.
Well, that's a good segue to our first topic right now. Once again, the Eagles are right now sitting pretty at the 22nd pick overall. They will definitely like to be the 32nd, you know, winning Super Bowl. But they find themselves with that early exit. They find themselves at 22 right now, which is a weird spot to be in, because depending on how you grade this draft class out, how many people have first round grades. But let's get the ball started with you, Bob. You know, we all know Howie Roseman's history with trading up or trade down. Just, he just likes to be straight. He even admitted during a pre-draft press conference, that's one of his favorite things he likes to do. What do you think is more like, what do you think? Do you think they trade up or trade down? And who do you think will be the target in the first round?
I think they're more likely to trade up. I mean, that's been, although he has traded back too, but more often he has traded up. I looked at some fascinating things about the 22nd pick. It's the pick that nobody wants, because in this century, 62, I think it's 62% of the teams that have had the 22nd pick have traded it. So I don't think anybody wants it. But, you know, Howie's MO is to trade up and try to get the best player he possibly can. That's the way I see him going. Who are the players he might target? Well, if it's cornerback, I think the two guys you got to really trade up far for are Quinyon Mitchell and Terry and Arnold from Alabama, and Toledo, Mitchell's from Toledo. Now, if you want one of the top three tackles, you probably have to trade up even farther. I don't think Alt's within their range. But, you know, you probably have to trade up pretty far to get Fuega. I'm drawing some blanks here right now, but he might be the second best on that list. You can probably maybe get Latham, J.C. Latham, or Marcus Mims by maybe just trading up mentally, maybe not at all with Mims. I don't know what their board looks like. So that's the disadvantage, is you don't know what the board looks like. But you got to think that those guys are that I just mentioned are high on their board. And I think they're going to try to go up to get one. That doesn't mean they are going to get one. I mean, there have been times in the past, Patrick Surtain's, you know, that was a guy they wanted. But just because you want him, you know, that if you want him, that means other teams want him. So it's very easily for teams to say, regardless what package you're sending them, no, because this is, you're going to draft the guy we want to draft, and we're not going to make that trade. So that's also a possibility that doesn't get talked about a lot.
Nice, Trey. Very good. Kate, what say you on this? Do you think they'd eat trade up or down? And if they do so, who's the target?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bob kind of ran through it, but I do think they trade up. They've done it, you know, for three consecutive years, and 22 is kind of a no man land, because you expect before pick 20 that there's going to be a big tackle run, possibly guys like Fuaga, even J.C. Latham and Troy Fatanu from Washington. All those guys could be off the board. Same with Quinton Mitchell and Terry and Arnold. So if you don't want to get stuck there and have to choose between, let's say it's, you know, maybe Nate Wiggins or maybe Cooper DeJean or Tyler Guyton and Grant Barton, those guys of the world, you would definitely want to move up. And if they make a big move up, you know, there's into the top 15, I think it would be for Quinton Mitchell, just because, Terry Arnold is another guy they could like, but Quinton Mitchell had a really good Senior Bowl. He's a really good athlete. He's the type of guy that could grow into a potential elite number one corner. Not saying they're a similar player, but, you know, kind of a similar background to Sauce Gardner, coming from a small school, has all the traits that you're looking for. So I could see the Eagles getting aggressive and moving up to get the top corner. It might be difficult to do that because you might have to get as high as number 12 with Denver, because, you know, the Raiders have a need for corner. Indy has a need for corner. Jacksonville has a need for corner. If they like Terry Arnold, they could maybe move up ahead of Jacksonville, possible, if he's cornerback too. So those are some possibilities. I also think there's a world, you know, if they really prioritize this tackle class and they want to get a guy that can be Lane Johnson's heir apparent eventually, when you look at it, I think they'll need someone that has some guard tackle flexibility. So it might be a little easier getting up to like pick 18, 19, possibly, to get a guy like maybe like J.C. Latham, if he slips and he could plug in that guard as a rookie. So those are some possibilities, but I definitely see them moving up or potentially down. I don't see them sticking at number 22, where I don't think the value is going to be that great.
Good stuff as well, too. I look at this draft. I think this has potential to be like 2014 all over again, but I think Howie may make a better pick than Marcus Smith, because I look at it. I think they, if anything, I'm in a minority here. I'm thinking they maybe trade back, because I look at the way this draft is going, and I look at the overall picks they have. If they're going to move up, they're probably going to have to include one of those twos. And I know I keep hearing Seattle doesn't have a two, so maybe they should go up and trade with them. I don't know if there's going to be a player or the players that they would value, or it's the tackles. I think of that one too. I'm worried about them, everybody being gone by then. And if that's the case, I'm trying to trade back, and I'm trying to court the Arizona Cardinals. See, because the fact they brought in something about me with them and Letau Latu from UCLA, an edge rusher, I think they're very interested in him. And so I think he can probably get an additional pick, maybe a future two, maybe a two this year as well too, to look at that. But I'm looking at them like, to me, if I'm trading up, it's Latham, but something tells me, all these guys, like the way the board falls is going to, they may have to trade back, and it's going to be one of those like, wow, It's 11 o'clock. The Eagles are still waiting to get on the clock. And in the go back way, we're like, guys, I just want to write. I just want to write. But yeah, I'm seeing it more of a trade back is going out. Because if for me personally, I only see, I have 18, there's 18 guys I have first round grades on right now. And yeah, it's going to be tough. I think everybody's going to stand pat unless there's a lot of quarterbacks, unless there's a sixth quarterback taken. But yeah, who knows about that? Let's get to the next one too. Caden, if there had to be a dream draft scenario for the Eagles, what would it be? Or, and also in the same vein, what's the nightmare for them to happen?
Yeah, the dream scenario is that you either sit there at 22 and you get lucky and one of the top tackles falls. Because it's a really strong tackle class, maybe one of these guys will slip through the cracks, whether that's Latham or Fuaga or it might be tough, for that to happen, but you never know with the draft, especially if Bo Nix and Michael Penix, sneak in the top 20, whether you agree or not, whether that should happen. You know, quarterbacks get pushed up, and there's certain, Brian Thomas, if he goes in the top 20, could push one of these tackles down. Or, if Terrion Arnold or Quinnen Mitchell, slip maybe to like 18 or 19, Peter Schrager reported, last week that he's heard the Rams with, good friends with Sean McVay, you heard the Rams want to draft an offensive player and almost pretty much guaranteed it. So maybe the Rams would be willing to trade like a 22 to 19 trade to go get the corner. That would be the dream scenario. The nightmare scenario is that you get stuck there. And Chris, you mentioned you had 18 first round grades. You get stuck there, and all the top tackles are gone. All the top corners are gone. Let's say Cooper DeJean goes for like 20 to Pittsburgh as well. Three of the corners are gone. Latham's off the board. The best tackle available is like Tyler Guyton and like Jordan Morgan and guys like that. You might have an edge rusher available like Jared Verse or maybe even Latu, but not really the position of need that you really have to prioritize in this draft. And you don't get the player that that could make an impact in the secondary or on the offensive line that you might be prioritizing. So I think in that scenario, they would have to trade down. And I think trading down, not necessarily a nightmare, but it's not, necessarily what they want to do. And they could get caught in that situation where they have to settle for a player again, a la Marcus Smith, even though he probably won't be as bad as Marcus Smith, like you said, Chris. But, you don't want to be in a position where you feel like you have to settle. So,
cool. What do you think, Bob?
Well, it depends on how far the going down scenario. I don't hate it, but it depends on how far down you're going to have to go. I wouldn't go out of the first round because I think you really start to have a slip off after the first round. But if I can go down and be in the and get a third round pick back, and then have, two in the 50s, one in the 30s, and one in the 80s. That's four in the top 100. You start playing a numbers game. Is that the dream scenario? No. The dream scenario is you get, I don't know if this is the guy, but the dream scenario is you get whoever and whatever you have to do, you're able to move up and get Quinnen Mitchell or – if that's their guy, or Terrion Arnold, if that's their guy, or one of these offensive tackles. That's the dream scenario, is to be able to get one of those guys. No guarantee that's going to happen. The scenario I would love to see play out, because I would love to see what this guy is going to be as an NFL player. I would love to see him just stand pat at 22 and Cooper DeJean be there and be able to take him. And see what Vic Fangio does with Cooper DeJean, since we've heard so much about how he can play outside, he can play slot, he can play safety. He's a hybrid player. I would love to see what Vic Fangio did with Cooper DeJean. That is my dream scenario. I don't think that's the Eagles' dream scenario, but that's what I would love to see play out.
Nice. Now, I think for the best thing for them is J.J. McCarthy, the names this year, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and maybe Spencer Rattler going in the first round. I think that's the best one for them, because as many quarterbacks as are taken, I think that pushes everybody down as well, too. I mean, to me, a wild card, if they, I know they got Bryce Huff. But to me, if Jarrett Verse starts to slip more and more into that Goldilocks zone, and I know we just got off the thing where it says rather trade up or trade down, but if he starts to fall down toward that 16, 17, 18, I think that's when the phone calls start to really truly heat up, because I think he could be a guy that you could have long term and you can still get a lot of who can provide that pressure that you can do, and he's athletic enough to drop back in the cover. I think that's one guy to watch as well too. But then the more and more quarterbacks that continue taking early on, I think you're gonna get one of those three, like either Latham, either Guyton, or Mims as well too. I think that puts you in a position to get one of them as well too. So I think for me, it's all about the quarterbacks. It's all about hoping a couple of these teams reach really, really high, thinking that it's almost like the old peer pressure commercial. Everybody else is doing it. Get a quarterback early. And the next thing you know, you're like, and we'll see them in 3 years going, shouldn't have done this. This is pretty bad. When it comes to that, I think that's one of those things that we see. Am I wrong thinking that the quarterback, there's going to be too many quarterbacks that are we taking? Somebody's going to reach like, say, six guys, maybe seven to back end if somebody takes Rattler 32. You think that's too far-fetched that you see six guys go?
Six quarterbacks in the first round?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, right? Yeah.
Quarterbacks.
No, I think that's possible for sure. You know, the wild cards are Bo Nix and Penix, you know. And I guess to a lesser extent, it's going to be interesting to see where J.J. McCarthy goes. But I do think he's definitely going to be one of those guys that goes in the top 32. But I think Bo Nix and Michael Penix are the two wild cards here.
I agree with you, Chris. I don't think it's crazy. I right now at least think five go, and. Right now, if you're Denver, I know they, you know, people are made a whole, you know, joke about the Zach Wilson trade right now. That's a team that feels like they don't have a second round pick, and they could decide to go into the year with Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson and Ben DiNucci as your quarterbacks. But that's a tough sell, especially for a coach like Sean Payton. And you're in a position where if you don't get the quarterback now, I'm not sure if Spencer Rattler's there in the third round either. You might have to take a guy like Michael Pratt or Devin Leary. Like, they don't really have a lot of options. So it almost seems like that could be, you know, the trade back scenario possibly if the Eagles want to move up, because maybe they move back into the 20s to get, you know, Bo Nix or Michael Penix. It seems like the Raiders from reports have interest in Michael Penix as well. And there might be some other teams, you know, there are quarterback needy in the future that could be willing to move up into the end of the first round. So six is really possible. And even though six probably don't deserve to get taken.
That's for sure. We're going to be looking back at this next topic we're about to approach right now. I think some people, when they look next year, are going to go, oof, maybe it's not looking good. Because we're almost approaching 1 year, guys, of the 2023 class. Being selected. And just to go over those names that are all taken during that time, you know, you had defensive tackle Jalen Carter, finished as a runner-up for defensive rookie of the year. You had Nolan Smith, who saw more time in the second half but only finished with one sack. You had Tyler Steen, who may be coming in as the starting right guard this year. You don't know yet on there. Safety Sidney Brown, Keely Ringo, the cornerback. Quarterback Tanner McKee, and Mauro Jomo, who's been really quiet when it comes in terms of just overall people talking about his potential role coming up next year. You know, he can play defensive end, defensive tackle. Now that we've seen a full year from these guys and projecting what their roles could be for this upcoming season, what grade, Bob, I'll start with you, Bob, on this one. What grade would you give that draft class looking back at what they've done?
God, I hate drafting class after grading classes after 1 year. but I mean, for last year, I would say a B because Carter was so good, especially early in the season. But, you know, I thought he was pretty good all the way through. You know, Nolan Smith, almost impossible to grade. He came on at the end. You know, one of the things, I'm just going to take it back to the 22 class. Jordan Davis wasn't asked to do that much as a rookie because there was so much depth at the position. Cam Jurgens wasn't asked to do almost nothing. He had to play, I think, one game, moved in to start. Kobe Dean didn't contribute a lot. Kyron Johnson, not at all. Grant Calcaterra, very little. They got very little out of that class, that rookie class, right? And didn't need to, because they obviously went to the Super Bowl. Whereas this class, you know, everybody expected them to get a lot out of Carter when you take a guy that high in the number nine overall. Didn't need a lot from Smith. Tyler Steen, actually, his one start may have them worried about that right guard spot going forward. They probably had to ask more than they wanted to from Sidney Brown. The same true late in the season of Kelly Ringo. I mean, they didn't want him to have to contribute that much. Tanner McGee, we all know, is going to be the next Eagles franchise quarterback. and you make a great point about Jomo. He's kind of a wild card going forward. He has some potential. But, you know, they started to have to depend on guys like Smith more in the playoffs than they probably wanted to. Sidney Brown late in the season towards ACL. And Ringo more than they wanted to. And I think that, you know, especially on the back end when you're starting to lean on Sidney Brown and Kelly Ringo, you know, that was probably part of the problem with the defense, is that you were relying on those guys more than you wanted to. And then, you know, Sidney Brown had some good moments, but he also had some really bad ones. So I would say a B because Carter's performance, but, you know, it's a TBD, really, as also the 2022 class. They're both TBDs, you know, in my mind.
Gotcha. Cool. What about you, Kane?
Yeah, like Bob said, you know, it's tough to grade a class after 1 year, especially, you know, some positions it takes longer for players to develop. Like corner for Kelee Ringo, really don't know what he is yet, even though, you know, at times when thrown into action at the end of the year, he did really flash. Nolan Smith, we don't know what he is. Coming out, some people thought he'd be a top 15 pick, and he slipped there to the end of the first round. And when the Eagles picked him last year, it seemed like a huge deal. But, you know, after 1 year of little production, you have to have some worries. No reason to, you know, panic yet. Some guys just take longer to develop. And coming into the league, one of the concerns from what I remember is, you know, just his build. You don't see a lot of edge rushers who are that slim. And, you know, no one's obviously probably been in the weight room, and he's probably going to continue to get, you know, stronger and, you know, faster. So, you know, this year is going to be a big year to see, you know, that development, because right now he's a real incomplete grade, because, you know, it's hard to project him going forward. But the prospect that he was in college, the Eagles were really excited. So there's still a chance that he becomes that player. Obviously, they had some confidence, you know, in him by trading, you know, away Hassan Reddick. They still have Josh Sweat, but he's only under contract for one more year. So, in that building, they still probably believe in Nolan Smith. Guys like McKee and Ajomo, we really don't know. McKee, you know, had a good preseason last year, but they did bring in Kenny Pickett and Will Greer. So it doesn't seem like the Eagles have the utmost, you know, confidence in him as well. And, you know, like Bob said, Tyler Steen in a little action, you know, struggled and kind of had to make that transition from tackle to guard. And, you know, that's tougher than people think. So we don't really know about him as well, but they did land it, or they did nail it with Jalen Carter. At least, you know, it seems if he can keep it up now and stay focused, they might have one of the most premier defensive tackles in the league for a long time. And it's a hard position to hit on in the league. There's not a lot of those guys, and he showed potential as a rookie that makes you think that one day he could be that Jeffrey Simmons type. And that's the reason why guys like Byron Murphy might go even in the top 10 this year. It's hard to find those guys, and they did. So overall, I'd probably give him about a B- or a C+. But it's hard to give right now, because next year, if Nolan Smith develops into a good starter and gets you 7 or 8 sacks, and Tyler Steen starts all 17 games at guard, and Sidney Brown recovers and looks like an outstanding safety, then it's an A. So it's really tough right now. But last year, they didn't get a ton of production from their rookies other than, you know, Jalen Carter and some flashes from Sidney Brown.
All right, give you guys some background, at least just for people breaking the fourth wall here when it comes to listening to us. Like, we're all recording in different spots right now. So, like, Bob's in his spot, Caden's in his spot, and I'm at my spot. Caden, were you reading my notes? Did you copy off me at any time?
No, I didn't.
I was sticking with that one too, because I was kid you not, I've been going back and forth between a B- and a C+. That's what I'm like, you know, because I look at it, and it's not so much The Carter pick I had no problem with. It's the Nolan Smith, which became a de facto, even though it was a first, it's almost like a second round pick, and Tyler Steen are the ones that, to me, are bringing the grade down a little bit. Even with Nolan Smith, I have questions now. I liked the pick when it first happened. I really thought he could be that edge rusher that can really get that bend around there, get that quickness around the tackle. And I know he still was a year in, but when he let too many offensive linemen get on his inside pads, and he didn't have developed like second or third counter move to get around these guys. And he just basically he's like almost like a Velcro to him. So that's why I'm hoping that Jeremiah Washburn is really works with him during OTAs and training camp to get that other move, because I have real legit concerns about him now about trying to get around that edge. And you think, especially for that spot, and it's good that they got him at 30, because that means he got the fifth year option to pick it up. But you don't know now, and this is why I think next upcoming year is going to be the most pivotal with him. Because if he doesn't do anything, it's going to be And the same goes for Tyler Steen. I mean, when you look at Steen, the way he goes in, to me, I know he was a former tackle going to guard, and I know this can be a difference for that. It can take some time to get used to that in a way. But every time I see him when he's on the field, whether it was practice or whether that one too, to me, he looks better at tackle, like when he filled in, when Mailata or Lane Johnson need to get rest and they threw him in there, he looked really good as a tackle. When you get in the guard, you had your questions about it. And I'm hoping the year of experience improves that part. And maybe the competition, if they do take an offensive lineman that first round, maybe the competition does do him well and he gets used to that. But I feel more confident about Brown, Ringo, and Ojomo than I think everybody else. And the reason why I left out McKee is I know he looks like he's going to be the third round pick. I know they signed Will Greer, but yeah, from people I've been talking to, they say they're still very high on McKee taking that third spot. So you can see the potential in this draft class, and I hope my words out next year when we do this is like, Chris, remember Chris, you said this? I just hope I'm wrong about those about Smith and Steen, but my stomach's a little uneasy right now looking into the way they're developing.
Your Honor, I offer you on Nolan Smith 188 defensive snaps the whole year. That's 16%. You got to give him more. And I also offer up Brandon Graham's first 2 years in the NFL. We're not very encouraging. And he has Brandon Graham in his ear, and Brandon basically told us he has him in his ear and told him, here's what you need to be thinking, son. So he has that going for him. With Tyler Steen, his defense, I'll give you Jermaine Mayberry, who the Eagles drafted as a tackle and eventually had to move to guard. And he ended up, by the end of his career, was a second-team All-Pro offensive guard in 2002 and really a good player for this franchise. Plus, I have a soft spot for him, one of the nicest people I ever met in my life. I'll give you those two. You know, I'll go back to my thing. I hate grading rookies because, by the third year, if you're not seeing some progress, then it's time to start worrying. But with these two guys, you at least got to give them some chance to improve, and we'll see what happens.
Fair enough. We'll allow the evidence. We'll allow the evidence. There's a motion granted for that one on there. And Bob, we'll stick with you on this one too. This next one, the Eagles do have those two second round picks, 50 and 53rd overall. When you look at their usage of that, what do you think they'll do with them?
I'll start with the 53rd because I did extensive research on the 53rd overall pick. There have been 24 of them in this century. Only four have made the Pro Bowl. Three of them were Eagles. The Eagles at the 53rd pick have picked their last three picks of 53 have all been Pro Bowls. LeSean McCoy, that was pretty good. Miles Sanders, also pretty good. And Jalen Hurts, really, really good. So do you really want to give up your 53rd pick? it would be really odd, though, if Howie Roseman said, oh, you want our 50th pick, but we'll give you our 50th pick, but we're just not going to give you our 53rd when he was negotiating. that would be a little strange. But I do think he's going to at least try. to move one of those guys to move up in this draft, if you want to get really high on them. There's part of me that says, hey, you know what? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you had 50 and 53. You know, we all talk about trying to recoup a third round pick. Well, better than having a third round pick is having 2-3 picks apart in the second round. You know, I wouldn't feel – I wouldn't think it was the worst thing in the world if they still had those two picks. And, you know, if you start getting down to where they only have to move up to get the guy they want to 18 or 19, then you got a chance to really keep those two picks. But my thought is they're going to use one of them to try to – and it'll be the 53rd, my favorite pick in team history. They're going to use it to try to get up even higher on the board. Will they be successful? We'll see. But that's what I think will happen with them.
And it's hard to believe that that New Orleans Saints trade is still in play. Like when they initially traded back in 2022. And I wonder what Mickey Loomis is thinking right now. If he had to go back, would he redo that deal? Because, yeah, the first round pick in the previous year that helped him eventually get AJ Brown, and now you got the second round pick here. Yeah, it just keeps going. It just keeps going on that one. Caden, you know, day three, you know, this is where a lot of scouts and a lot of general managers make their money at, because that's where they find the sleepers and the gems around that time. Could you give us a couple day three sleepers that you think would fit this roster?
Yeah. Originally, I wanted to go with Malik Washington, a wide receiver from Virginia, but I'm not sure if he goes day three anymore, so I crossed him off my list. But the two guys that stand out to me, you know, potentially as day three options, you know, for the Eagles, one is if they don't take a wide receiver on day two with one of the second round picks, or even potentially their fourth round pick, if they don't grab someone at 120, Taj Washington, the wide receiver from USC, there would be some risk involved because he is only 5'9", 174 pounds. He is skinny. He is short, and he doesn't have the prototypical, you know, size that you want from an NFL wide receiver, but he's super explosive. He was productive at USC. And the one thing that he would bring to this offense is, even though, you know, Devontae and AJ are explosive players, he could go up in the slot and be a true deep threat. He led the Pac-12 last year with five plus catches of 50 yards. He could stretch the field from anywhere. He's a good route runner. He's super explosive, and he's reliable. He only had one drop on 74 targets last year. So the thing with him is, if he was, you know, maybe 6 foot in 190, he'd probably be a third or fourth round pick. Or he's a really good football player from USC. You know, Brendan Rice was there as well, another guy who's probably going to go in the third or fourth round. But, you know, just from watching some Caleb Williams, it seems like he had a nice rapport with Taj Washington. And if he can stay durable in the NFL and the size isn't too much of an issue in the slot, he might be a really productive player as that third wide receiver. And you might be able to get him in the fifth, even maybe the sixth round. The other guy for me that stands out is Xavier Thomas, the defensive end from Clemson. The Eagles could, you know, Chris, you mentioned, you know, the outside the box thinking is that maybe they do take a pass rusher in the first round, whether it's Jared Verse or Leitu. So if that happens, I'm not sure if they would target someone like this on day three, but if they don't and they just are looking more for that rotational edge, Thomas would fit, one, because he's super experienced. He's been in college since 2018. He's a six-year player in college, you know, with a ton of experience at Clemson. Wasn't overly productive, but got hurt a few years ago. Was a projected top 50 pick like 2 years ago. He was a big name. Has kind of gone under the radar, but he's got an super explosive first step. He knows how to, you know, bend around tackles, and he's a really good player. And if you could get him in the fourth round, you might have that third or fourth option to rotate. And we know how the Eagles like to rotate. And right now, I think they're kind of missing that option, unless they really trust Zach Bond to develop into that type of player. So he would be good depth in his experience. And he seems like he's you know, kind of pro ready, which he should be after playing in college for 6 years.
Yeah, good pick. Especially I like the Washington one as well, too. He was on one of the lists of like a wide receivers for the Eagles were looking at, like, potentially a slot, because especially I think a lot of people are going to look at the Caleb Williams film and then he's going to pop. I liked him. I also like Luke McCaffrey, and also Dylan Lau from New Hampshire. Luke McCaffrey with a rise. I think that's more like a Greg Ward guy who you can play quarterback before, can find those empty spots. And the next thing you know, he can settle down. It also helps you some McCaffrey. So we know how that goes. And Lau, short of running back, I think of Boston Scott. I think he's more receiving Boston Scott. That's why I think those guys for that. But those are good names. I appreciate that. Good names like that. Now, before we all go, you know, thank you guys for sticking around. You know, before we go, we do have to talk about a contract extension that was the Eagles recently gave out. And that went to one wide receiver, Devonta Smith. You know, Smith, the former 2021 10th overall pick, he's made himself into one of the top, I'd probably say top 15, and arguably when you look at some of the statistics since he's entered the league, top 10 receivers in there now. So we're working the opposite of A.J. Brown now. So before we go, Bob, what do you think about the extension, and also who do you think is next in line to receive a new contract?
I love the extension. I think Devontae Smith's a terrific player. I think he might even be a better player than we've realized. Having A.J. Brown and certainly takes targets and catches away from him. The A.J. Brown thing, everybody wants to find a reason for A.J. Brown to leave. And we had another one, I guess, this week to take us into another subject. But I don't read A.J. Brown's tweets and read too much into any of them. You can make yourself insane doing that. But anyway, I love the Devontae extension. Who's next? Maybe Cam Jurgens, although we're still a little ways away from that. From that draft class, maybe a Milton Williams at some point here. It's not going to be a major deal. I mean, are you talking about a major deal or just any deal?
I think a player of significance, like any deal that one too. So yeah, that's a cool one. Milton's a good one.
You know, I don't know what Milton's market would be, but I just think he's a really underrated player. He's been good for them. Not great, but good. And a big part of that rotation. And we know how much the Eagles love having their defensive line rotation, and they should. I was talking to somebody recently, just about how, you know, everybody's talking about the Giants, and I go back to the Giants because I covered the Giants, you know, their defensive line getting Brian Burns and how good it could be with Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. But they also lost Leonard Williams. And when you start thinking about the Giants' line rotation, and obviously they rely heavily on those three guys. But part of the Eagles' success as a defensive line has always been that rotation, which is, you know, why there's some concern right now with Hassan Reddick leaving. And exactly, and as we go back to Nolan Smith, what is he going to be and how is he going to be part of that rotation? But Milton Williams has been a part of that rotation, and played a lot more snaps, I think, than people realize. He played almost 50% of the team's snaps last year, and he's played over 40% in his 3 years with the team. So let's go with Milton Williams as the next guy up to get an extension.
Oh, thanks. And Caden, what do you think?
Yeah, Milton Williams is a good choice by Bob, and he's been a really, you know, productive player, and we know how the Eagles valued that rotation. I wouldn't be surprised if they got him, you know, back on a contract extension if he were to hit the open market as a free agent next year. Some team would pay him. Defensive tackles are hard to find, and he'd get a bigger contract than most people think. So that's a good choice. Cam Jurgens is the next most obvious one, replacing Jason Kelce, or at least it seems it's going to, you know, be that way going forward. And if he could provide, you know, a solid play this year, and I think the Eagles will lock him up, you know, pretty quickly to a contract extension. He'll have 1 year on his deal after this year. So Cam Jurgens would be my pick. I do think there's an outside shot. You know, we know how the Eagles like to, you know, sign their Reed Blankenships early and their TJ Edwards. If a guy like Isaiah Rodgers comes in after just getting reinstated and he performs well in the secondary as an outside corner and has a big role, that's one that could be, you know, a surprise one as well.
Good wild card, Caden. Good wild card.
Okay, that's good one. You know, I'll just get back to Devonta Smith's stats. I just looked like got him back up here again. He's 11th since he entered the league. He's for 3 years he's been for the time he's played, the seasons he's played, 11th in the league in targets, 10th in receptions, 9th in receiving yards, 10th in receiving touchdowns, tied for 9th in first downs, tied for 5th in average depth of targets, and 7th with quarterback rating targeted. So yeah. 3 years, $75 million with $51 million guaranteed. Yeah, I think he deserves that. As for the next guys, I'm looking more like I think Milton Williams is a good one. I'm also I think Isaiah Rodgers is another good one. It's probably too special that I'm looking at. I'm torn, and I'm going to lean with Josh Sweat because I was going to go Jordan Davis. Well, I think he still needs to show a lot. Especially even if they exercise his fifth year option and then try to rework it, say they almost do something similar to what they did with Devonta Smith, that would have got. But I look at Josh Sweat, and it's hard to find an edge rusher now that like to find consistent edge rushers. And I'll put this caveat out there. I know he struggled in the second half of last season, but he's a former Pro Bowler. He has 6.5 sacks. I think with a more focused rush now, I think he could see a lot of them. I think he can get back to the level that he was capable of doing a couple of years ago when he went to the Pro Bowl. And I also think that when you look at his age still, he's still young enough that he can still be an impact guy, a guy who can still get around the edge with quickness and who's, in my opinion, sort of shed that injury prone moniker that was placed on him. I think he could be a guy that can still be disruptive. And as for how much it can be, I don't know. I don't have contract parameters right now, but looking at this, I think the tandem of him and potentially Huff or whoever comes in, if they draft one or even Nolan Smith, if one of the things, so I think he could be do well enough where it'll be like he can get like a 2 or 3 year contract extension. Doesn't have to break the bank, but it'll still be something that it get decent value with on that one. All right, that's it, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on. How are you guys going to be spending the draft night?
Well, I'm going to be spending with you, Chris, in the beautiful NovaCare Complex media room that we really enjoy. And I'm going to, when we get done writing, I'm going to fist bump, and then I'm going to go home. that's it.
That's cool.
How about you?
How about you? Well, I know I'm going to be in there and yeah, I'll probably be upstairs for a little bit. That's something about that room. I don't know to give you the inside the media house. There's two levels in there.
Hoity-toity upstairs people, are we?
It seems like everything like it's a fun time down there. I still remember this and from 2022, the 2022 draft. There are two TVs on there. There's one reporter. I'll leave out the name out there who wanted to see the Sixers play, and the draft was on the other TV, and we were both up there. That was the day when I remember up there, including person for person, it was Peter King, Sal Powell, myself, and Mike K, and it was a person. We're all sitting there watching the draft and doing this. All of a sudden, everybody's phone's going off, and this is a family show, so I won't say the words that were said, but that was the top moment that the A.J. Brown trade went down. Uh-huh. And it was like, okay, and those seats, you know, they're comfortable. Like, yeah, they almost the sheer of running down, trying to find information that was going on, yeah, they almost tipped over. So that was kind of fun. That was ever since then, I'm like, you know what? I think I will try to watch the draft up here, at least the first round up here, and do that. So, yeah, it'll be that fun, too. Kate, how about you? How do you typically spend a draft night or when you're watching the whole entire weekend?
Yeah, the last few years as a student at Temple, so we would do like a live show for the first, you know, second and third round from like a bar. So we would go down to like South Philly to a place called the South House, and we do like a live, you know, setup type show in front of like a crowd, usually the crowd just being friends who would pile into the bar. So that was a fun experience. But before usually, you know, just take it in from just sitting, you know, on my couch, honestly, just watch it. But, you know, this year I'll be remote from my apartment, but I'll have the TV set up, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Cool. Very, very nice. Very nice. Well, guys, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Thank you, everybody who was listening. Make sure to look, read all of our draft coverage. We'll be covering all three nights and even up to the undrafted free agents as well, too, afterwards. You'll find all that on nj.com/Eagles, and we look forward to giving you the best coverage we possibly can. So for Bob, for Caden, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good one. See ya.